So today we're here to talk about and look at a review in claims trends for liability insurance in Australia. We have a number of speakers here today. We've got three from APRA and who are going to talk about the NCPD data that they've been working on and released to the market. And we also have one from Finity who will give some insights into the data. So we've got 40 minutes. There'll be about 15 minutes from the APRA side and 15 minutes from Finity side. So from APRA, we've got three presenters. We're going to start with Clement Peng, who is part of the APRA statistics team and looks at GI overall. Kundan's going to go second, Kundan Mishra, and he's quite accomplished with 5 degrees and has been working in NCPD for the last 3 years, 5 years, so quite experienced in the NCPD space. And then Maggie Liu is going to go last, so she's at APRA in the actuarial division. Now, I won't go into any more details about that except to say they're all very accomplished. And then finally, Alice Huang from Finity is going to talk about insights. And Alice is our Finity NCPD expert and has quite a lot of experience in the liability space. So I might let them kick off, and afterwards we'll come back for some questions from the audience.
Thanks for the introduction, and Kundan got a very impressive degree, but I would say one extra degree would do all the tricks. So we'll kick off. My name is Clement Peng. I'm from APRA, and today we're here to provide a report actually based on the NCPD database. This is just an overview for today's agenda. I think Finity approached us and they actually initiated this report and project to provide some insights on the not released data or what data that we can show. So throughout this project, we consulted with Finity extensively, including Jeff and Alice over there. In particular, Alice, she made a great contribution into this project, including days and nights plus weekends. Make sure Jeff hear this when you're doing your annual performance review. But I think the purpose here is to show some data that's really interesting, and that's something we've got, but also keep in mind the confidentiality constraints. So I won't do too much about this published data because it's publicly available with the level 1 and the level 2. I might want to touch base on what's new in this report. So we have the first time released the claims database based on the public liability by general nature of loss. By saying that, I mean the body injury and the property damage. And we also have other mixed type of general nature of loss as well. Having said that, we break this down by jurisdiction of claims or industry divisions as well. Industry division is the first digit of ANZIC code. We could not really go any further because of confidentiality constraints. Insurance or actuaries, you would love to see the triangles of the development. Unfortunately, we could not provide that. But instead, we did the chain ladder calculations for the IBNR with the reported claims. So we hope to give you some insights. We also break down the claims, finalized claims, into large and non-large. By large, 500K. And we hope this might help you with your pricing or reinsurance. We also have the fitted curves for the large claims, which would be the first time, like you're going to see it today. I think I also went to another session yesterday with Scott from Taylor Fry, and I think luckily we're presenting the same topic. As an actuary analyst, I think I'm a data nerd, so I borrowed some words from Scott. They said, show me the money. I would say, show me the data. So I'll leave to Kundun to explain the exposure.
We're presenting exposure for two reasons. First of all, because exposure gives an indication of industry growth and where the growth is, and also it's a means to the end, of course, of calculating claim frequency. We chose a maybe unorthodox approach to calculating exposure, which is simply the average of the risks written in a year with the risks written in the prior year. There are some reasons why we did that. We know the more standard approach is to use either turnover or risks earned. So with turnover, that really wasn't an option because with the NCPD reporting standard, although it does include exposure measures, insurers have an option of which exposure measure they give us. So we don't have a full population of turnover. We get professional fees, number of staff, turnover if they choose to give that to us or other. So that wasn't really possible. Risks earned had a few difficulties because we get multiple records for each risk. So we get the endorsement records and we get the cancellation, which can truncate a risk. Endorsements can extend a risk. So because of these complications, which we could have surmounted, we decided that it would be better to just use the method we have because most of the risks are 12 months. An awful lot of them are written in the middle of the year, and we're basically making the assumption that those written in the first half of the year offset those written in the second half. So we thought the gain didn't justify the cost. So we pressed on with other more interesting analysis. It's up, not down. So this shows the overall trend of exposure. What we can see of the long term is that exposure grew by about 25% in the post-tort reform era, but most of that was in the early phase of the post-tort reform era. Between 2010 and 2013, exposure only grew by about 2%, which is a little bit more than what the ABS says the number of businesses grew by, which was 1%, but still quite small. I should actually emphasise what the population is here that we're talking about. The title of the presentation is Liability Insurance, Liability Claims Trends. We're only looking at public and product liability. So the NCPD has professional indemnity as well. We chose to go with public liability because it's a larger, more homogeneous group. It also includes construction liability, which is in many cases a little bit different from your normal public liability, but that's included as well. Here's the mix by industry division. Two of them stand out as growing. This is the ANZIC 1993 standard, just the highest level of division. So property and business services show overall growth, and so does construction. But the others don't really show any decisive trend of growth. As Clement said, we looked at the kind of loss involved in a claim. So this section will be on claims mixture by loss type, which means bodily injury, property damage, and other kinds. The NCPD provides BI, PD, and also pure financial loss, and also provides all the different possible permutations of those three loss types. So we've split out just the pure BI, the pure property damage, and mixed the rest of them together. And as you'll see, this seems to be a natural way to do it because it splits out the biggest groups. Like Clement said, now this is by claim number. Like Clement said, we've calculated the estimated ultimate, projected ultimate, using the chain ladder approach, and that's what you're seeing here. The proportion by number of claims projected to ultimate. We can see the property damage are about 2/3 of claims, BI a bit under 1/3, and other rest. This is the split by cost. So the first thing you see, I suppose, is that while we saw in the previous slide that BI claims are about half of property damage claims by number, they're about the double by cost, which means their average size is about 4 times, so they're much larger. There was a significant change in the mix in the early phase of tort reform. Actually, we see that in the earlier slide as well. We can see the red line going down a bit earlier on, and similarly in this one as well. Similarly to BI being above average, or more than PD, in terms of punching above their weight in the cost versus the number, other is the same. So other claims are also larger claims in general. One thing we spent a fair amount of time on was looking at which industry groups have more bodily injury claims than property damage claims. And we saw really the standout one being hospitality, accommodation, cafes and restaurants, way above the total market average of about 30%, and property and business services as well. So we can see more property damage claims coming in because the proportion of BI is going down, but still way above the average. Property and business services includes commercial property operators and developers, residential, and many other divisions as well. It's quite broad. So that ends my introduction, and I'll hand it to Maggie now.
So before I start, I just want to share with you, I heard someone talking about NCPD yesterday at lunch, and this person said, NCPD, the data from NCPD used to be rubbish. So I'm glad that he used the word used to be, which means we are improving, although not perfect, but we're improving. So claim frequency, what is happening with claim frequency? Overall, claim frequency was flat before 2009, but has been declining since then. And break it down into BI, PD and other, we can see some different trends there. BI claim frequency is declining, particularly between 2005 and 2009. PD claim frequency, on the other hand, was increasing between 2005 and 2009 and started declining afterwards. Now, looking at PD claims only, with a further breakdown by industry division. For the three largest industry exposure, property and business service, frequency has been stable. Construction, between 2005 and 2009, frequency increased by 25% and then started declining after 2009. Being the second largest industry by exposure, with a high claim frequency, it certainly has a significant impact on the overall PD claims frequency trend. Retail trade, there has been a declining trend until 2010. For BI claim frequency, a declining trend can be observed for all three largest industries. We also observe that accommodation, cafe and restaurant has been improving until recent years, where a sharp increase occurred. So this increase is due to a much higher number of reported claims compared to earlier years at the same development period. The chain-ladder projection method magnifies this increase, and in fact, many of those claims have been finalised as nil claims. Manufacturing was also affected by higher than usual reported nil claims in 2011 and 12, coupled with deterioration in experience. So that was claim frequency. What about average claim size? Average claim size dropped by 13% from finalisation year 2005 to 2006 and has been trending upwards since then. Again, break it down into BI, PD and other. Average claim size has increased for both BI and PD, and notice this is inflated costs. So after a drop of 11% between 2005 and 2006 finalisation years, BI average claim size has been increasing at a higher rate compared to PD average claim size, at around about 3% per annum. Average claim size for other increased by more than 30% between 2006 and 2008 finalisation years, driven by a higher proportion of bodily injury and financial losses claims. Now move on to large claims. Large claims contribute to about 30% of the total claims costs. So although the proportion by cost is similar between BI and PD claims, by number, the proportion for PD is much lower than for BI. So this implies that, on average, the difference between large and non-large claims is greater for property damage claims than for bodily injury claims. Also, between finalisation year 07 and 08, proportion of BI large claims has increased from 1.2% to 1.5%. So now you have an idea what the average claim size might be. The next couple of slides will show you the fitted probability over a range of possible claim sizes. So I model the claim size distribution on two different bases. The first one is based on all the claims finalised between 2005 and 2013. The second is based on claims finalised between 2005 and 2013 and within 10 years of being reported, which is effectively removing claims from older accident years that may not be representative of future claims, for example, asbestos claims. So if you can see the difference between the two sets of fitted distribution on this chart, you must have very good eyes, because the difference is more pronounced in large claims, which I'll show you in the next slide. And based on the fitted cumulative distribution, 33% of the claims are no more than $100. 72% are no more than $5,000. 99% are no more than $500,000. So the distribution continues to the next slide for claim sizes greater than $500,000. Based on all claims finalised between 2005 and 2013, 1% of the claims are more than $500,000. 0.08% of the claims are more than $2 million. And if we remove the claims from older accident years, the probability of a claim cost more than $2 million reduced to 0.05%. So this means that the tail is heavier when claims from older accident years are included, which is not unexpected, as claims that take longer to settle tend to be larger in size. So that concludes APRA's presentation in respect of liability claims trends. Now I'll hand you over to Alice, who will take you through her interpretation of the claims trends, and we'll be taking questions after that. Thank you.
Thanks, Maggie. Okay, so let me start off by just saying a big thank you to APRA and to Clement, Kunden and Maggie for releasing this additional information. There's certainly a lot of interesting stuff here to look at, so might get straight into it. Now, I've got quite a few slides because there is so much interesting stuff, and my first run-through of it was 37 minutes, so I don't have that much now, so I'm going to skip through quite a few of them as I go along and just point out the more interesting things. Now, which one is it? Oh, that one. Okay. So first up, I just want to talk a little bit about the exposure. So Clinton already mentioned that the number of risk counts coming out of NCPD is a lot, well, the growth in that is a lot higher than what we see out of the ABS numbers of businesses. And certainly, you know, the difference between 3% per annum and 1% per annum is fairly material, I would say. There's certain periods in there, if you look at 2008 to 2011, for example, or 2010, I think it is, sorry, where there's actually 5.3% growth per annum in the NCPD risk counts. Now, a lot of that actually comes from Queensland and New South Wales, and especially in Queensland, that amount of growth looks quite quite large, and it certainly isn't backed up by what we see in GEP. So I guess my point is that, you know, is it actually real? And I would say that it's probably not. It's most likely because of the way that people are reporting risks. And the reason I'm telling you this is because when we look at frequency later on, we're going to look at it on two bases. One on the NCPD risk counts and what that shows, and then the other one on the ABS numbers of businesses. So let's have a look at what's been happening with the finalised claims cost. I'll move over here a bit. So on the left here, we've got the total pool of claims paid out by year of finalisation. And what we see in that is that it's basically flat. If you look on the right, it's the average claim size by year of finalisation again. Again, flat. Now, that all says, that all kind of, you know, is good for the insurance industry, but what I want to point out is that is by finalisation year, so it means that we've probably got a mix of pre- and post-tort reform claims in there. So especially for the earlier years, you're going to have more of those pre-tort reform claims. So whilst the trend looks like it's flat, I actually expect there to be some underlying increase in costs over time. And, you know, that's not unexpected given that exposure has grown, although there's doubt about how much exactly it's grown. So let's have a look into, I guess, some of the new stuff that we've got out of this NCPD release, which is claim types, experience by claim type. So bodily injury claims is very interesting. If you look at that graph in the middle, which is the green and orange one, that shows the accident year frequency. And what that shows is that orange line is the frequency calculated based on the NCPD risk counts. That has fallen from 0.5% to 0.4%. If we use the number of businesses, which is that dotted orange line, it actually looks like it's been flat since about 07-08. I would probably be more inclined to believe that version of the story, that bodily injury claim frequency has been flat. Over on the right side, we have the experience by finalisation year. The first thing that jumped out to me about that graph was the drop in the number of claims finalised. So in 2005, the number of claims finalised in that year was around 13,000, and that's dropped to around just over 10,000 per year. I think that's probably, it's around a 20% drop, and I think that's probably because of the sort of pre-tort reform claims kind of running off. Average claim size. So I think as far as I know, this is the first time that we've had a chance to compare the pre- and post-tort reform average claim sizes. And what do we find? Well, it's basically unchanged. So the pre-tort reform average claim size from the 2002 report for analysis of the minister's meeting said that bodily injury average claim sizes was around 25,000. If you add inflation to 2013, it comes out to be around 40 to 45,000, which is exactly what we see post-tort reform. So I guess the conclusion I drew from all of that was that after tort reform, the frequency of bodily injury claims fell, but the average claim size hasn't really changed. Okay, to look at superimposed inflation, I've restricted it to just small claims to remove some of that volatility from the large claims. And if you look at that orange line, which is the average finalised claim size by year, that shows a definite upward trend. And that says to me there has been some superimposed inflation in bodily injury claims historically, although it's not much, the tune of about 1% to 2% per annum. So one other new bit of information that we've actually got out of this data release is cause code on claims. What that allows us to do is have a look at, for example, slip and fall claims specifically, slip and fall bodily injury claims. And I guess I find that particularly interesting, not only because it's the biggest portion of bodily injury claims costs, so you can see there in the pie chart that it makes up around 36% of all bodily injury costs, but also that I would say it's probably the best gauge of tort temperature out of all the different claim types. So what does that show? You can see that between 2007 and 2009, there's an increase in the average size of these claims. And then since then, it's kind of eased off. Incidentally, or coincidentally, I'm not sure which, the pattern actually matches quite well with what some of my colleagues at Finity thought was happening with tort temperature. So they thought that things were heating up in the sort of 2007 to 2009-10 period, and that since then it's been easing off. Whether or not you think that's, you know, a coincidence or if it's a sort of confirmation of each different piece of work, I'll leave that up to you. But at the end of the day, it's good news for insurers. One more thing I want to say about the cause codes that we now have, thanks to APRA, is have a look at the differential in the average claim size by cause code. So you can see that the average size, even within bodily injury claims, for different causes of claim, ranges from around, can't really see that there, but I think it's 25,000 up to over 65,000. So that's a huge range. I think when people think about liability claims when we think about liability claims, we typically just think of the BIPD split. But I think what this says to me is there's even bigger, even within BI or within PD, there is quite a lot of further differential in the average size and potentially in the way that these claims behave. And that does make me wonder, could we be doing better with pricing and reserving by taking into account mix of these claims? Property damage claims. So there doesn't appear, unlike bodily injury, there doesn't seem to be any upward trend in the average claim size if you look at the orange line on the far right graph. There are a few blips here and there, but that's not unexpected with large claims. But have a look at the claim numbers and frequency. It seems like there's just a much bigger pool of property damage claims now, almost 25% more than there was in the mid-2000s. Now, the one caveat I would put on that is that there is that other claims group, which might be distorting some of it, but my guess is that other claims group is actually more bodily injury, just based on looking at the average size of those. Now, in my experience, people haven't really, or perhaps me, I haven't focused too much on property damage claims, but looking at these numbers, I would say that it's an area I would pay a bit more attention to going forward. Now, I'm just going to skip the next couple of slides and go straight onto large claims. So, not to repeat too much of what Maggie's already covered, but the main point I want to make with large claims is there may be less than 1% of claim numbers, but it's a big chunk of claims costs. I actually worked out to be around 35% of the total claims cost. So you do want to make sure you know what's happening with large claims. Now, the good news is, according to the NCPD, there's not much happening. So if you look at the number of large claims or the average size of these claims split by BI or PD, basically things are either flat or potentially even trending downwards. My guess would be it's flat because of the volatility that you expect to see in these claims anyway. So, okay, now we get to some really interesting stuff, which is looking at comparing experience across different jurisdictions. So, there are two states where finalised claims costs are increasing quite significantly, Queensland and Victoria. So have a look at Queensland. Claims cost over 2005 to 2009 averaged around $120 million per year. And since then, in 2010 to 2013, that's now around $180 million. That's quite a sizable jump, around 50% increase, and it's such a marked break in the experience almost. I'm not aware of any particular event that's driving this, but something has definitely happened. Victoria, on the other hand, is a much more gradual increase, but still very significant. So 2006-07 was around 120 million, and now you would say, or I would say, it's around sort of 150, 160 million per annum. But it's not all bad news. So New South Wales has been doing the opposite. So over the years, the same years where Queensland was low, New South Wales was particularly high. So, you know, I can't really see the numbers there. It's a bit far. But I think it's around sort of 350, 400, something around that. And since 2010 onwards, it's dropped down to around under 300. So I guess that's good news for people writing business in New South Wales. Although having said that, I think that a lot of that, part of what's the higher cost in the 2005 to 2009 years will be because of legacy claims or just pre-tort reform claims as they've run off. Okay, so what's actually behind the increase in Queensland finalised cost? So it's largely bodily injury claims, which you can see from the orange part of that left-hand chart, the orange part of the column of that left-hand chart. And if you break that down by number times size, it's actually all numbers. So number of claims finalised, bodily injury claims finalised per annum has increased from around 2,000 to around 3,000. So that's a 50% increase. Again, whilst we can't offer any answers to why that is, it's definitely an area worth looking into. I did forget the order of my graphs. So on the claim numbers in Queensland for bodily injury, it's not just the finalised claims. Queensland is the only state where we're seeing an increase in the accident year frequency. And this is frequency calculated on NCPD risk counts, by the way. So if you don't believe that growth, it would potentially be even steeper incline than that. Compare that to all the other states, which is what's on the left-hand side. All other states have had a big reduction, so from 0.5% per annum to getting close to 0.3% per annum. So it does beg the question, what's happening in Queensland that's causing so many more bodily injury claims to come in? The increase in Victoria, the increase in finalised costs in Victoria is a different story. So virtually all of that upward drift in the finalised cost is because of the increase in average claim sizes. Now, funnily enough, I haven't really, in the course of talking to people and sort of doing in my work, I haven't really heard much about Victoria being an area of concern. So this was quite a surprise. It does suggest to me that there is quite a lot of superimposed inflation in this jurisdiction. Potentially Victoria is very profitable right now, and maybe that's why it's not getting a lot of attention, but I would be very concerned about that much superimposed inflation. I mean, the claim size has gone from around 35,000 to almost 50,000. That would definitely be eroding your profitability over time. Okay, just to kind of finish off the picture with Victoria and Queensland, just having a look at property damage, we see quite a similar trend in Victoria in terms of the increase in average size. And in Queensland, again, there's a bit of an increase in average size, but numbers have gone up more so. So it's actually fairly consistent with what we see in bodily injury claims. Now, I'm going to skip the rest of these. How am I going for time, Susie?
Got 2 minutes.
Okay. The only thing I want to say, okay, so I'm not going to show anything on industry because there is a bit of an issue with the industry finalised cost data, and I just want to give this health warning for anyone who is looking to use the data themselves. Because we're showing information by finalisation year, it does include a mix of claims which are related to policies pre-2003, which is when the NCPD first started collecting data. So what we're going to have is for those policies that are written, or for those claims on policies written prior to 2003, they don't have an industry on them, which means we've got this big unknown portion which reduces over time across finalisation years. So if you were looking at construction finalised costs per year, you're going to see this big increasing trend, which is not actually real. And that's what I'm going to say on industry. And I'm just going to skip to the conclusion. So what I wanted to, what do we draw out of all of this? The first thing I would say is, overall, there is a small degree of superimposed inflation for liability claims, primarily in bodily injury, but there are some hot spots that people need to be aware of. So the first thing is there a problem in Queensland? I would certainly say there is, given what we've seen so far. There appears to be a lot higher frequency for bodily injury claims coming through, I'm at the moment at a loss as to what's actually driving that. Secondly, Victoria. Do we have an issue with superimposed inflation in Victoria? It seems like bodily injury claim sizes and property damage claim sizes are increasing quite a lot over time. And then lastly, property damage claims. What is actually happening with property damage claims? Why are there so many or such greater numbers of property damage claims coming through compared to what we had before? Now, I just wanted to finish off with talking about what more we can get out of NCPD. So I hope the answer to everyone is quite obvious that there is a heck of a lot more we can get out of it than what we've necessarily shown today even. In fact, I would say what we've shown today is just scratching the surface. Imagine if we could better map out where the hotspots are and what's driving it. It would give insurers and other stakeholders a chance to get in and fix things, which is actually exactly what the NCPD was intended to do. And I guess the other thing I would say with that is the NCPD is pretty much the only source of information that we have that can help us do that. So what would be needed for that to happen? Well, the first thing is removal of masking. So if we're only looking at claims, there shouldn't be much of a concern on commercial confidentiality. Data quality is obviously important as well, and that relies on insurers. And the last thing that we would need is a delivery method. Ideally, not necessarily ad hoc reports, but something that's produced consistently in a data format that people can easily take and analyse and use. Of course, for any of this to happen, and in fact for what's happened today, for this additional information that we've seen today to happen, there needs to be appetite from APRA, and there also needs to be demand from the industry. And on that note, I just want to finish off by saying thank you to APRA again for the progress, and certainly I, and I'm sure many others in the industry, hope that there'll be more to come. Thank you.
So did anyone have any questions to start with? Do you want to come up to the mic and introduce yourself and speak clearly?
All right, I'll try. Hi, I'm Myron from EY, and I'll have a question for Alice in relation to the mix of business across states. To what degree would the change and the increases in Queensland and Victoria relative to decreases in New South Wales be potential evidence of jurisdiction shopping, that is, claims that were previously filed in New South Wales jurisdiction now moving to other states?
Alice, do you want to just come over here?
Yeah, sure. I think my answer to that is...
Great.
Oh, sorry. My answer is quite short. I'm not sure. Because as far as I know, there's not a good way that we can look at that. If the claims are actually moving, you know, selecting which jurisdictions to lodge the claim, there's no way that we can actually track it back to where it should have been lodged or where it could have been lodged even. Given the amount of the increase, I would be very surprised if that was what's driving it. And given the sort of the regulations around where claims can be lodged, I would be somewhat surprised as well. And are you talking about sort of when you say jurisdiction, are you talking about workers' comp versus liability, so say worker-to-worker claims, or across states?
I was thinking
principally across states, but there is an element of worker-to-worker. Yeah, so on the worker-to-worker claims, I expect that could have potentially quite a material impact. In fact, in Queensland, we do see, you know, we do know of changes on the workers' comp side that may actually be having an impact, a flow-on impact on liability right now. Does that answer your question?
Is there any other questions? Yeah.
I'm Andrew from KPMG. Will you at some point be looking at states by industry? Is that on the cards? Because Queensland may have had a lot of growth in a few years ago, and that, or the post floods, there may have been a lot of tradesmen coming to the state, a lot of new policies being purchased. And
definitely a lot of interesting findings when you look at industry by state. Unfortunately, that's where we hit a wall on the confidentiality factor. That's why when you go into the level 2 reports of the standard published NCPD reports, there are certain combinations that you can't see, and state and industry is one of them. It's always a problem. What we might be able to do going forward possibly is find areas that are worth focusing on that don't have that confidentiality barrier. It's just that the more you go down, the more likely you're going to find certain rules are breached, you know, such as we've got certain standard confidentiality rules. So that's the hurdle that we have looking at it at that level.
Unfortunately, we're right out of time, but if anyone has a really urgent question, yeah, there is someone very keen, so you'll all have to wait.
Just wondering, when you look at the claim experience, have you actually considered the change of risk profile over the past 10 years maybe? So that would potentially drive the superimposed bit?
That is, I think that does come down to the state by industry kind of mix, which unfortunately we weren't able to look at. I think if you think through, I guess, some of the... So, for example, in Queensland, there has been an increase in mining and mining-related construction, but the same thing has happened in WA, and we don't see as strong trends there. So I think that even beyond that, there is something about that jurisdiction, the way the claims are being treated and dealt with in the system, that is contributing to it. Does that make sense? So...
Yeah, I'm more interested in the increase in limit profile. So if someone's trying to buy a big limit, that could potentially increase the size of the claims, which may give a false idea about Supreme Court.
Sure. Although we weren't able to look at that because that's not something that was available from the data that we got. But For liability claims, I would say most of them don't actually reach to the limit of, say, the standard limit of 20 million or even 10 million, most claims, if you look at the average claim size. So especially if we say, look at, you know, claims restricted to capped at 500,000, I think we're still getting quite a good picture of what's happening with those claims that's not distorted by limit changes. Would you agree with that, or you kind of... Do you mean excess?
No, not excess, just the total limit. So if you limit, if you look at one of the limits, limit more than 10 million, why? That's not many or something.
We do collect limit of indemnity, and it is in the publications only on a banded basis, but it's in there. We have it at the granular level as well. But we do find, like Alice was saying, that most of them are, you know, 10 million or so. So when we're looking at the bulk of claims, they're well within the limit.
Yep. All right, so we might just close off there. Thank you to all the speakers for providing information. Oh, we've got one more comment.
Further questions can be emailed.
Further questions can be emailed, it sounds like, so feel free to contact the speakers. Please provide your presenter pack and just give your thanks to everyone presenting.